Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter @_ringside rant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome to episode 152 of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is the man that doesn't wait to March to have a little madness in his life. From the hills of West Virginia, in his ad-free show's Top Gal t-shirt, JD Justin Davis. Justin, what's up, man?
Someone say something about a little madness. Uh-huh.
And I follow that soft. I floated that softball there to you, and I was really hoping you'd take it there, and you did. So I'm thrilled that you did that. So, but yeah, what's going on, man? Another day in paradise, I'm sure, in the hills of West Virginia.
Smoking a brisket currently.
Of course
about
you are.
About to throw a salmon in there as well. So getting ready to watch a little NASCAR this afternoon.
Of course you are. Of course. I figured you'd be watching the basketball.
My Bearcats are not in it, so I haven't paid a lot of attention to the tournament this year. No.
I saw a couple games the other day because there's nothing better on. I'm like, oh, what the hell? I was watching Baylor get upset by UNC there and all that.
Well, I was celebrating the Kentucky loss. Go Peacocks! Don't fuck with the Peacocks.
If that would be your, if you'd come back as an animal, that'd probably be your animal you'd come back as, right, Justin?
Oh, I'd strut that shit all over the place. I'd be my feathers out as far as I can get them.
Well, of course. Speaking of peacocks, we are welcoming one of our very loyal listeners. He is the, another man that is the reason why he's making Bald is Beautiful. He's the one, he's the only. Mr. Brad Stanton. Brad, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Not anytime, man. It's great to have you on. You've been a big part of the show, and this is something that Justin and I look forward to. I can't speak for Justin, even though I try to. Something that we look forward to every month. Just to welcome one of you guys in and watch some good classic wrestling, if you will. And man,
Brad's
this
got,
is another.
Brad's got some pussy in the screen over there.
I'm not going to feel that one. I'll let you take that one, Justin. I'm not going to, because that'll get us into the weeds.
What was the question that Brad sent us that one time about Billy Kidman? How did he word it? He was a method or.
Oh, heroin something addict. About it. Yeah, something about a meth addict. Like, in that, I'm like, I don't think I still have that run sheet, but I'd have to go back into the archives.
That was one of my favorite questions. I never thought about Billy Kidman as a heroin addict, but he really is a ripoff heroin addict gimmick.
But that's what he was looking at, though, like that when he was the whole, was it the 9 or 7 year itch or whatever? It was his finishing move with a shooting star press.
I've had a 7 year itch. You don't want that.
Well, there's usually a lotion for that, though, Justin. Anyways, so we're into the weeds, and even though I didn't want to get into it, but no, we're taking a look at WrestleMania 13 here, guys. One of the most iconic pay-per-views just in general, coming to the Rosemont Horizon. One of the legitimate, I'd say the best wrestling towns outside of probably other, I'm sure a couple other people will tell us differently, but Chicago, man, it has a special heart and it's placed in the heart for a lot of wrestling fans across the board. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Brad.
Well, I mean, just recently, and Justin, I know you don't watch recently, but just watching that reunion of CM Punk in Chicago just goes to show how rabid the fans are there. And yes, I agree. It is one of the best towns. You know, I'm in Philly, not too far off, but Chicago definitely beats us out as I would say, if not one of the number one, if not the number one town.
Well, it's definitely a different breed of fan there between I'd say like Chicago, Philly, New York. You can even go up to like a Toronto or Montreal too, because you see a lot of with WrestleMania 18 that night after that, when Montreal, when Hogan came back and the black or the red and the yellow, it's like, it's totally different type of fans up there. Good or bad. Some people think I'm Canadian, but we'll just leave it at that. But one guy that isn't Canadian is Mr. Rich Paladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest.
All right, guys. So they're starting off with a quite interesting match here as we have Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler, and Vince McMahon on commentary. One of these is not like the other, let me tell you. But it is very interesting. You put new in front of something, Justin and Brad, you know it's not going to be good. But the new Blackjacks, I enjoyed them. Being Bradshaw, and I believe it was Barry Windham, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And taking on the Godwins with Hillbilly Jim, which I totally forgot he was on this card until just before we hit the record button. Taking on the Headbangers, taking on Doug Furness and Phil LaFon, who, if you don't know who those two guys are, go throw them in the Google machine.
Yeah. I love the old school WrestleMania music that they have. I miss that. I wish they would still play that at WrestleMania. I love that music that they used to play.
Yeah, because I think before here they had other like generic music. They didn't have this, I don't think, at 12 or 11. I think they just had just generic stuff.
Yeah. The rules on this tag match, anyone can tag anybody, and the winners get a shot at the belts on Raw the next night, Monday night.
So you know what that means, guys, is it's going to be a clusterfuck.
Well, I actually didn't hate it. The Blackjacks get eliminated right out of the chute for shoving down Mike Chioda. How fucking dare they?
How do they not know that Mike Chioda is friends with Paul Bromwell? Apparently he's kind not. Of a big deal.
And Paul Bromwell was a ding dong. And so, you know,
And if you look at Mr. Corey Ryan Forrester's Twitter feed and his Instagram, Paul Bromwell was Slash last night at his little get together there in Huntsville. So,
well, Bromwell needs a wig, so that probably worked out well for him.
Hey, you're outnumbered with bald people on this show this week, Justin. So I wouldn't really go too far into the weeds on that one.
And Bromwell could probably pull off a Slash. They're both tall.
Oh yeah. But it's one of those things is like Bromwell, Paul is deceptively tall.
Yeah, he is.
He is like the Billy Gunn of ad-free shows.
Conrad's deceptively fat. Anyways.
All right. Well, there goes that. We can't beat that this week, folks. So
Furness and LaFon, they get thrown out too. It's like the Blackjacks shoved down Kyoto. They get eliminated, but all of a sudden, Furness and LaFon just start walking to the back too. I'm like, what the fuck did they do? Why are they out?
You know, exactly.
I was confused. So, I didn't know why they got dumped.
Yeah. It's kind of like a cluster here, but Brad, what did you think about this match?
So right off the bat, I watched the pay-per-views leading up to this with your shows, and I just don't understand why why did the Headbangers win this match? Were they even on any of the shows coming up to this? I don't remember them being on any of the shows. The Blackjacks were the ones that were displayed. Yeah. And you could say, well, maybe they were going to go up against because they were heels or whatever. But it doesn't matter. It just made no sense to me. I mean, I enjoyed the match for what it was. I just didn't understand what was the push at the Headbangers at WrestleMania when we haven't seen them on the show.
I think at this time, the other events that we've done at this time, Justin, is the tag team division here in the mid 90s and even earlier. It's just a cluster. There's not really a defined tag team there because your tag champs, we'll get to them in a little bit, are Owen and Bulldog, who aren't a full tag team, full like a Heart Foundation or something. They're not like a Demolition. So it's like they're kind of just throwing it against the wall, I think, at this time and seeing if it sticks.
Well, Brad, we couldn't put the Headbangers on Raw because we had to have the Minis on there. God damn it.
So what was your favorite? Oh, God. Okay. I'm not going to get into that, though. Like you said, the Headbangers won this match. They'll go on to the Raw the next night and face the tag team champions, whoever they may be, because there is a tag team title match on this card. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So our next match is the Intercontinental Champion, some guy named Rocky Maivia. I wonder whatever happened to him. Taking on the Sultan, whatever happened to him, I don't know either. But he is flanked by Bob Backlund and Iron Sheik. Yes, I said that. Bob Backlund and Iron Sheik in 1997. Okay.
We'll this match featured a fucking 4-minute headlock.
Well, what did you expect? You had the goddamn honky-tonk man on commentary. What did you expect?
It was not a good match. Rocky wins with a very shitty roll-up. Like, he barely got a hold of him to roll him up. Just not good. Afterwards, the Sheik makes Rock humble, puts him in camel clutch.
And with all the buildup that we had to this, Justin and Brad, like you said, if anybody that listened to the shows leading up to this pay-per-view, they were putting this feud over like Grover. You had Tony Atlas come in and defend the honor of Rocky Maivia. And finally, we see Rocky Johnson make an appearance here for the comeback with his son. And it's just like, was it just a little too late? Or did you actually touch you in the feels here?
So it's funny that you bring that up again, because so when you guys mentioned last week that why isn't Rocky Johnson coming out every week, I said, well, I didn't even notice it because I'm not looking at this through 1997 eyes. I'm looking at it through 2022 eyes, and Rocky Johnson's dead. And I'm thinking, that's why Tony Atlas is there. But wait a minute. This is 25 years ago. He was alive. I'm like, why isn't he there? I'm like, what is going on? And then this match, he comes out of nowhere. And where's Tony Atlas when they're getting their ass kicked at the end? They're losing again. They were getting their butt kicked again. And Tony Atlas isn't helping.
I think he's sitting at ringside.
Yeah,
Captain Lou Albano and Arnold Skaaland. And
he doesn't come out. He doesn't come out. What the heck?
I don't know. Maybe he was accepting independent bookings then, too. I don't know. But
maybe he had to take a shit during the end of the match. Who knows?
This was the match to do it, though, man. It goes to show you that you put a mask on Rikishi, and I guess the rest is history after that point. But I think this was a way to kind of get Rock involved quite a bit here earlier on in 97 to see what the fans say about him, see if they cheer him, if they boo him or whatever. But I just think the fans were flat at this point.
If only Vince knew all he had to do to get the Sultan over was to show his ass.
Yeah, Vince has something to say about that too after his Kiss My Ass Club, right? What's up, Red?
How about Lawler's line in this about the Rock speech during the Slammies, or Rocky Maivia's speech during the Slammies, that it was so boring that Christopher Reeves walked out? Boy, that doesn't, that's a tough one.
Like you said, that doesn't really live up to what you can't say today and all, but yeah, it's Lawler was always the one, and I'm sure I'd have to go back and listen. I didn't really stand out, but I'm sure he said a lot of shit during the Brett and Austin match, because he was always playing up that heel towards the Hart family in general. I'm sure Justin has that all written down and ready to fire off. So
after this match, we get two of the most annoying backstage interviewers in the history of the WWE. Fucking Todd Pettengill is interviewing Shamrock. And then you got Doc Hendricks is with Triple H in China. God, it makes you miss the days of Mean Gene and Sean Mooney. It's like these two fucking idiots. Oh, I can't take it.
Good thing you're not bitter about it. Jesus Christ.
No.
Our next match is something that they build up on this last Raw and even this whole month was Hunter Hearst Helmsley and Goldust. Goldust is with Marlena, and then China is associated with Triple H here. But it goes to show you, man, that they're really putting China over here. And, man, how did you guys think how – China was such a freaking badass the way she was ragdolling Marlena around here at the end. And it's just – what – how did you guys feel about that?
Well, I was more intimidated with the way she just looked at me. I felt like she was looking at me the whole time. Camera with those eyes, the death look. She is a total badass. She is scary. And she's scarier then because she was a lot less feminine, obviously, mm-hmm. than she became later. And just doesn't say a word. She came off great. I thought it was exactly what Hunter Hearst Helmsley needed at the time.
The only thing I noticed about this match is the crowd kind of quieted down during this match. They really, I don't know, they just didn't seem like they was getting a lot of crowd reaction during that match.
Well, it definitely slowed down a lot in the middle.
Well, after the 4-minute headlock in the last match, they probably fucking passed out.
Well, right, but and it's just like one of those, they didn't know what they were seeing too, because it's like you get these two young kids. We'll say kids because they're young at this time, is with Goldust being Dustin Runnels and Triple H. But it's just a matter of, are they, my thought was, did China really overshadow Triple H during this time?
I think it just helped get more heat on him. I mean, he needed another aspect to go with his character.
Yeah.
Yeah. His character had to change for sure.
And character it's just, had to- It was nice to see, too. This was kind of the beginning of a pretty good feud that Goldust and Triple H would have throughout the next, Christ, number of years going forward into the 2000s. But obviously, two guys that kind of went two different directions in their career. And at this time, it's like they're kind of running parallel at this point. And even you can even say Dustin was a little bit higher than Triple H, just being the son of a plumber.
Son of a plumber.
Well, it's better than some other son. But anyways, so next match is for the tag team titles. You got Owen and Davey Boy, your champions, taking on, you know, an unlikely team, but they work very well together, being Vader and Mankind, flanked by Paul Bearer. We saw this, obviously, on the last few Raws, Justin. But... man, this was just like a freaking hoss fight. And it's like, holy shit. And then once again, Vader rips off his mask because God forbid he has to keep his mask on the whole goddamn match.
Probably stunk. He wanted to take it off because he hadn't washed it in 6 months.
Wow. He probably smoked himself out.
Well, I will say this. Owen and Davey, I thought they looked fantastic coming out to the ring here. I did like this line, Brad. I don't know if you caught this. JR says, the king says, only time Vader saw 90210 was on the scales.
I wrote down a different line. I wrote, your favorite queen is RuPaul. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, I remember that. Bulldog is tan, so according to Eric Bischoff, they should win this match because Bulldog is tan. Bulldog stand up suplexes Vader, which was impressive. Bulldog had his working boots on in this match, I felt like. I felt like he was really at his, you know, he worked really well in this match. Usually it's always Owen, you know, in there working his ass off. I thought Bulldog really picked it up here. Sure. JR tells us that this is Bulldog's 9th WrestleMania appearance. And both Mankind and Bulldog get counted out after an extremely long mandible claw that got slapped on to the Bulldog there at the end.
Yeah. So, you know, we got a question here from Brian Haramza. He wanted to ask is, do you think that having an actual tag team facing Owen and Bulldog would have made the match better? Like, for example, maybe like the New Blackjacks would face them instead of the four-way, or... any of the other teams in that four-way that started off this pay-per-view?
don't think. I mean, I like Bulldog, or I like Vader and Mankind as a tag team. It's two big nasty heels that have the same manager and Paul Bearer or whatever. So it works out fine. And like I said last week, I really like Bulldog and Vader in the ring together.
Sure. What did you think, Brad?
Well, I mean, I didn't know who I was supposed to be rooting for. Because I think they were all – nobody was a baby face here, correct? Or they were tweeners, maybe?
I think Bulldog and Owen kind of just went back and forth.
They were kind of getting – we noticed last week they were kind of getting cheers last week. But they are heels. And, of course, the week after this, they will join in with Brett and go full heel. But they were kind of tweeners, like you said, Brad.
I'm just not a fan of any disqualifications during a WrestleMania, but what the rumor is that they were supposed to win this match, Vader and Mankind, and they switched the story around. So I guess they felt like they just didn't want – I don't know. It wasn't my favorite. I just thought it was – everybody's in this match is very good. It's four different styles. I just wasn't real happy with the ending.
Well, and I think they didn't want to – because I was just – you read my mind, Brad, or you just read the – run sheet that I actually did and you got it before I did, but anyways, beside the point. And I think the reasoning behind why I think it was switched is because Vince kind of had that inclination where the reformation of the Hart Foundation was down the road in the forefront. So he didn't really want a tag team to really outshadow that, because I think that Hart Foundation had big plans before obviously what ended up happening with him going to WCW and the aforementioned with Owen passing away. But I think the Hart Foundation could have really gone, Christ, you could probably go another three years with that, because the Hart Foundation to me at this time is what the New Day was currently. And I know, Justin, you don't know what the New Day is, but
I do. I do know what the New Day is. I woke up today and it was a new day, right?
Yes, it is. but that's something there too. It's like, you don't want to overshadow those factions, because nowadays everybody's in the goddamn faction. But I think that's why they kind of switched that up a little bit. But overall, the four of them really worked well together, because they worked together, you know, singles, tags, whatever, throughout the last number of weeks and the last month or so. But, you know, not all in all. 15-minute match, do you think that was a little too much, though, Justin?
Probably a little bit. But, you know, there's really not a lot of matches on this show. So,
no,
you got to kind of fill some time.
Well, and like you said, you got to go to that stupid Todd Pettengill with those stupid, awkward backstage segments. Which, did he have the mullet this time still?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Because I couldn't remember going back and watching it. But with that being said, we're actually going to be going to one of our watch alongs now. So if everybody that is listening wants to go over to their Peacock, wait for it.
That cock out.
There it is. And go to the 1 hour, 21 minute and 55 second mark. That is 1 hour, 21 minutes and 55 seconds. There we go. And you're going to be right at Stone Cold walking out backstage to the ring. Brad, do you want to give us a countdown?
Absolutely. 3, 2, 1, play.
All right. So okay. This is something that we really don't see a lot is
not
a lot
anymore.
Of the backstage. And then this is one of the classic videos of the grass literally breaking and him walking out. If you want to talk about when the Attitude Era started, this is that match that I think that catapulted the Attitude Era into the WWF.
Yeah, Steve just looking completely like a badass walking out of here. He don't want the fans at all to touch him. He's trying to get them off of him, playing up his heelness.
There's somebody's phone number there to call if you want to first give him a call. That's probably Tony Schiavone's number.
Call 909-999,
whatever. 909-9900. But the only guy that can wear a cutoff referee shirt and get away with it is Ken Shamrock. this Ken Shamrock, man, I just didn't really make sense. I don't know. We talked about it earlier on, Justin, was he actually signed at this time?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that he was. He had.
And I think it makes sense for him to be in this match just because Brett was kind of a friend of his, kind of integral in getting him in there. So are we able to track any of this?
Sure. Let's see.
I'm just going to track Brett's entrance, see what they say about him, if they're already trying to build him up as a heel. Yeah, a mixed reaction.
Yeah.
And as of late, that legacy has somewhat taken a turn.
Yeah, you took a little turn when he knocked you on your piece.
And I didn't appreciate it one bit, let me tell you. And I think Brett
kind of foreshadowing there.
Definitely. And right here at the beginning is awesome because he just spears him right here. Bang.
Bring it down. All right. So this is, they're really going hard here. They really are. And it's just like, there was no point to have a referee because these guys absolutely hated each other. I'm like, why would you bother having a referee? I know you wanted to get this combination, the cross, the dual sports, Darby and Shamrock and stuff, but it just, he didn't serve a purpose in this match. I don't think, to me anyways.
Well, not till the end, when he has to call it. But this, these two, man, right here in 1997 are just the absolute best. I love them two in the ring together. Their match at Survivor Series 96 was really good. And then they even go beyond that here at WrestleMania 13 and just put maybe the greatest WrestleMania match of all time right here, which I think it is. There's a few other matches I think can be argued. I really like Steamboat and Macho Man's match. I really like Bret and Owens' WrestleMania 10 match. And I'm sure there's plenty more, but this one to me just always stands out. It's very hard to do a perfect double turn in one match and tell that story like they do here.
There's Tony Atlas there for you.
Yeah.
So what do you guys stamp at, timestamp?
Oh, 125.56.
Okay, I'm a little behind, so I'll catch
125. I'm 126, 126.01.
Yeah.
All right, I got 126.09.
10, I have a little 11. Bit of an unpopular opinion about this match.
Sure.
I mean, listen, Justin, I love the match. So, I mean, I love Bret Hart, I love Stone Cold, but I think the double turn was well on its way before this match started.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And you can just see with all the awesome, I mean, he was trying to be a heel, but he wasn't. And sure. He had just so many fans already. And Bret had already started changing a while back. So, yeah, I give him credit for maybe finishing it here and ending it and then officially knowing what it is. But I do feel like it was well on its way, or and the crowd was already split.
Bret definitely went full fucking heel last week on Raw when he shoved McMahon on his ass and the cussing tirade.
And they talked about that leading up, like we heard leading up to hit with Bret coming out. But, Brian Haremza has a question here. Since Bret versus Austin had a longer story, do you think it should have been the main event over the title match we're going to be watching in a little bit?
I do not feel that way because it's real easy to look at it now as being the best match on the card. And that, the story was built wonderful, but we obviously didn't know this was gonna be the greatest match ever started. And looking back now, this match, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, maybe they all should have main evented WrestleMania now looking back on it. But at this time, I think the right call was Undertaker and Sid, even though it didn't seem to work out too well.
I agree. I don't think this should have been the main event, although these two are going to have the best match of the night going into it. That is, 99% chance two are going to have the best match of the night. That doesn't mean it needs to be the main event. I generally feel that the main event should be the world title match.
No matter what.
I don't keep that to a hard rule, though. I think there are times when it doesn't have to be the main event, but there would be no reason, in my opinion, here to not have Undertaker and Sid as the main event.
True.
And I think actually the placement of this match, kind of in the middle, toward the middle top of the card, is a good spot for it, because it gets the fans, you know, all back into riled up and ready to go. And after maybe, you know, that sleeper of a Rocky Maivia match and shit. So then you get these two to get the crowd back fired up for your last two matches. I don't mind the placement of it at all.
Yeah, and then you have Ahmed Johnson come out and kill the crowd.
Kill the town.
Well, that too. Well, didn't you know he's from Chicago? He's part of the LOD, pay-per-view. So he's like the adopted son of Chicago, I guess.
I actually thought that was a good match to have in between, though, the two main event, like the main event and this one, because it meant absolutely nothing to me. Like, it was just a fun, crazy match that kind of relaxed through, and a couple of badass entrances. But yeah, you're right.
But no, but did you think there was should have been something else outside it, or even in addition to that six man before the main event, between this match and the main event? Do you think there's something else that should have been there?
No,
I thought it was good. I thought it worked well.
It was properly booked as far as the amount of matches, one and two in between both of the title, or this match and the title match.
Yeah, I like Brett when he's in the pink top too. I wish he would have went more full pink like he did a couple times in 92-3 when he was like pink pants, pink shirt or top. But I never was a fan of when he wore black on black. I always liked it when he kind of mixed it up with the pink on there.
So it was kind of when he won the IC title from Piper there at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
That aspect of it, yeah. But it just goes to show you where Austin is. You look at Austin 97 and look at him, what he would later become, is you see him picking apart. We saw him just before this, picking apart each and every, stomping on the fingers, stomping on the hands, stomping on the ankles of Bret Hart to kind of wear him down. You don't see that. You know, the only guy that's really done it currently has been Randy Orton, but he's the old school mentality there. But, you know, Hart's really wrenching on that knee that has that basically that bullseye on it with the knee brace that he would later become, both knees being braced, but really setting up that sharpshooter.
Steve can't get up, but he gets up enough to flip Shamrock off.
Well, of course.
Brett doing what Brett does here, just working on a body part, going after that knee, making Steve immobile and getting it ready for the sharpshooter eventually. Mm-hmm. But what did you say, Brad?
Horseman mentality with Arn Anderson. It's the way he always said it. You know, he never jumped off anything. Just wear you down and then submit you later, or just make you not able to perform. And that is something that you're right. You see a lot of spots nowadays, maybe not, you know, that kind of wrestling, but it's really worked here, because you can see, like, you know, that knee brace is almost a target. It's just like when they wrap their arm up with tape, you know, they're going to go after. And I think that's a good story to tell.
Or it was that old adage too. If you remember the show that we did with DDP, you know, it was that old adage where he always had his ribs taped, because that was his whole psychology version of it. If the, to psych everybody out, go for the ribs, go for the ribs.
Steve just got a stunner out of nowhere. And I did write that stunner got a huge pop from the crowd right there. The crowd is definitely into this thing. They are digging all of it.
Well, it's just those spots too. But even if you look at it between, it's just like, man, they're kind of dead here until those spots happen. You get Bret here taking out his knee again and just kicking it out, stomping it. And it goes to show you how good with Bret Hart was, that technician in the ring, that, you know, everybody wants a fantasy book this stuff. Now it's just like, dude, just let it be, man. Just let Bret do his thing. And this is one of the classic things we're seeing here. Is that figure four on the ring post that you
Steve selling it for all my it's God, worth.
But you don't, I can't remember the last time anybody currently has done that.
No, not all. No.
You know, in general, I'm not even saying even along the lines of being this good, but just in general, nobody's done it because I don't think anybody can do it that well.
We get a little bit of foreshadowing after that stunner too. King says, Brett can't submit if he's unconscious.
Yeah.
You wrote that down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. You know what is interesting about that part though, to me, where he was doing that figure four, was later in the match, when he does have his sharpshooter on, they keep saying he's reaching for the rope. He's reaching for the rope.
What's that matter?
It doesn't matter. But in this case, here he is wrapped around the rope, wrapped around the post.
It's like having a rope break in a cage match.
Brett's bringing a chair in now. He's going to put Steve's ankle in there or whatever, like Steve did to Pillman, I guess.
Yeah, breaking his ankle there.
This looks like it hurts. It really looks like it hurts. I've always thought this was a strange, a good spot.
But I don't know really how you can, like, I guess because if you turned it around and put it like the
Brett goes to the top. The crowd loses their shit right here.
And boom.
Yeah. Brett goes to the top. Steve gets the chair off of his ankle and whacks Brett right in the back on the top turnbuckle. Yeah.
Steve's still selling that knee though. Pops.
Hobbling around.
Oh, here we go again. Look at Brett sell that.
Yeah, but where does Brett rank for you guys as far as like the best seller of all time? Do you think he's up there?
He's a good seller. I mean, he's not over the top in a way like Flair and Michaels and those guys would be. But like when he would take a turnbuckle, you know, chest like first and stuff like that. Yeah. I felt like he always sold stuff to where he made it look real.
Well, Owen was the same way. He'd sell the same way as his brother. And I think that's kind of like, but he still did it in his kind of his unique way. As we're seeing the replay here of the chair shot.
I'll tell you who's selling me right now is Ken Shamrock. That I should be stuffing ones down his pants or something like that.
looks like he's smuggling plums or something.
Jeez, oh man.
Oh, don't. Hey, you're jealous. You're jealous you can't fit into that stuff, Brad, right? The bike pants and the cutoff spandex ref shirt.
He must have loved wearing that. He must have absolutely loved doing this.
Well, we know what Brad's going to be for Halloween. And then, so probably what? About November 1st, you'll be in jail. So we got to bail you out.
Yeah, bring ones.
So we're seeing the cut of this. Was that one of Brett's kids?
I don't know. I was wondering that. I don't think so. He mostly has boys.
Was it Blade was one of them, I think.
Yeah, Blade and Beans. And I don't know. They all had weird names, I feel like.
So somebody that has a weird name, Money Mike, had a question for us.
No, he has a weird face and a weird personality. And his name's the most normal thing that he has.
Apparently he doesn't like Seinfeld, son of a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, what? This was his take on Seinfeld last night on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. Someone asked him, I believe it was the great Mike Hoop, asked him what his take on Seinfeld was. And that son of a bitch, Money Mike, said, it's okay. I like it. I really like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but I like her better in this other show. Shut up, Mike. It's the greatest fucking comedy of all time, you idiot.
Oh, was he -5 at the time? -5? He wasn't even born yet, right?
He says he's going to. He promised me last night that he's going to watch it in its entirety.
So what other Julia Dreyfus show was it? What was the other show?
I forget what he said now. It was one that she did after Seinfeld.
Oh, it was
not Veep, but whatever she was in before that.
It was one of the ones that she was a lead actress on. Yeah.
So. The New Adventures of Old Christine.
That's it. Oh my God.
Of course he would like The New Adventures of Old Christine more than Seinfeld. I mean, what is this? What are we even talking about?
You can't say that out loud.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Anyways, he wants to know, after we eviscerated him, how does WrestleMania 13 and its impact change if we get the Brett Shawn rematch for the title? And then what program would you have had Steve Austin work? So we get a rematch from Shawn and Brett here. Shawn would have never lost his smile, and we'd see Steve with somebody else, who would you put Steve against?
Yeah, it's tough.
I'm not real sure, honestly. Maybe
I would even put him against Rocky. Get him to work something with Rocky there. Get that kind of ball rolling with that.
Or maybe go ahead and put the Intercontinental title on him there. I don't know. You could do that.
Or get him in the some sort of tag team partner. Have him face Owen, because you know you can see him with Owen quite a bit. Start that Owen thing pretty quickly. Have him put somebody him in Mankind. And this is where he gets busted here.
Yeah, I was thinking Mankind or Vader. I think you could have. I don't know how long it would have gone on.
Or you could have him be in a program with Vader. You know, they work together in WCW there. Obviously, you don't want to, you know, pay too much attention to that as you're booking it. But
hey, when we get to the bell spot, I want you to track it because I love JR's call of that. And I think we're getting relatively close to it.
All right. Let me know when, because I got to get over to. There's the blood.
Oh, man, it's pouring out of him, too.
Did you guys hear the line that that Vince McMahon says at the end of this about the blood?
Mm-mm.
Well, it doesn't happen often in the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel he's talking directly to him like, you guys are dead after this.
Justin, let me know when you want me to start tracking, and then I'll put it on. But we're seeing him draped over the steel steps here, just gushing. I think it would have, the scene would have definitely impacted, would have been different if it was Sean and Brett. But I think this was the right way to do it, because we saw Sean and Brett last year, and I don't think people really wanted to see it again.
Yeah.
Even though we would have seen it in November here again, but still.
Yeah. It would have been interesting had you get Brett and Sean and for the title here, maybe, you know, Brett wins as he's turning just full fucking heel. I don't know. I could see it, but I'm really glad we got this match instead.
Yeah. Could have really done without Shamrock, though.
What do you think? He just wasn't ready to wrestle yet? I know you guys brought it up earlier, but maybe he wasn't completely trained yet, or they just wanted to
I would say so. See, the funny thing is he worked in wrestling in the late 80s as a jobber.
Mm-hmm. That is right. Yeah, that's right.
Maybe he was just still, you know, knocking rust off, still working with, you know, Tom Pritchard or whoever the hell he would be training.
Well, he was working with the Hart family. He was up at the dungeon.
Yeah, yeah.
For a little bit.
You think you're a shooter, huh? Come on down here in the basement.
Get the rhino. Get the rhino in here. We're seeing, like I said, Brett's picking up this chair and really picking apart that knee still. So it goes to show you how good of a worker, like I said, continuing to pick apart a body part and just take him to task.
Yep. Now he's going to try maybe here for the sharpshooter, I think.
Something up. Yep, stepping through, folding it over. Is he going to get it over? He's working on it.
He's trying to give Steve a chance to grab him.
Open, he rakes the eyes. But yeah,
Steve can probably barely fucking see with all the blood running down over
his eyes. And it goes to show you, like, the only time that I remember seeing this much blood, like as of recent, was the whole Cody and Dustin match there at, I believe that was All In.
Yeah, in
Chicago, and that was like the mat was just stained all over.
Steve doing a great job of selling here.
Right into the ding dong.
A kick to the dick.
But again, that's okay. But he's going to be reaching for the rope later.
That's 97 booking for you, Brad. That's 97 booking.
How happy do you think Pat Patterson was when this match was over? I bet he was back. Attaboy, attaboy.
He was probably smoking three cigarettes at a time.
Probably got him all out of trouble with the blood, but after he told Vince how good it was.
Well, yeah. But that was accident, though. They were told not to, and then Austin and they talked
there's
about
the
it. There's
Brett
a turnbuckle. Sternum first, turnbuckle.
And now Steve's talking to him, shaking his head around. He's going to stomp a mud hole in his ass and walk it dry in the corner now.
But yeah, this is classic Austin here. This is right around when I just started becoming a huge fan of Austin, guys. And it's hard not to now because just like that authority figure, you go to school and you start flicking everybody off, calling everybody a son of a bitch and all that stuff. And had to explain to your parents why you got detention. And
and then a couple months later.
So is this where they're going to do the bell's not here.
No.
It's the other way.
A couple months later, you're going to be doing the DX crotch chop to your teacher.
Yeah. telling your teacher to suck it. That is another thing that really doesn't stand tall time. But
so Austin always wore this knee brace while he was Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? There was never a time where he didn't have a bum knee.
No, he later on he had to get the two of them. But yeah, this was when he would at least the one. He still have the other knee issue, but.
Well, it just goes to show, how good he was that even though he was probably always hurt, always somewhat hurt.
All right, here's our spot.
All right, here we go.
That thing may have power to it. It has power to it, all right, if it's in the hands of Stone Cold. Austin's going to try to choke Bret Hart out, and that could be the submission.
I love JR.
Again, technically, that would be legal.
I love it.
Somebody answer the phone.
Oh, what a war. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh. Here we go.
This is just classic here.
Well,
this is just classic, guys. This is when wrestling was great. This is hit you in the feels.
Continues to resist the pain. These people are standing. Can you imagine the pain that's rushing through Austin's body? See the blood spurting from his temple.
Brett's got that thing really cinched down deep into it, too.
So good.
Austin trying to get one more rush of adrenaline. Austin trying to come out of that. It's not a pretty sight. Stone Cold Steve.
He's almost got Brett off of him. Gets out, and then Brett keeps it locked on.
Takes the wind out of him. Puts it back in.
Still has it on. I thought for sure he broke it now. Austin trying to reach that ramp, reaching for the ramp. Austin will not surrender. He will not submit. Bret Hart has beaten every superstar. Do you give up? With this move, how in the hell Austin has not given up? I can't understand.
Good take on that, Shamrock.
Stopping it right now. That's it.
Oh, man. I'm going to cut it there. Austin never gave up. He's unconscious. He's unconscious.
JR he was really fired lose. Up.
What's that?
JR was he was fired up big time.
Oh,
right
yeah.
There.
But that's that commentary that just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And it's just you get those iconic commentary from JR, from King. Even Vince at this time, I never was a huge fan of Vince on commentary, but at this match really, you know, he did well enough. He did good enough, I should say.
You know, it's funny. I'm a little older than you guys, and I grew up on Vince. So he was my guy for a while. Him and Jesse the Body.
Yeah. Oh, you're that old, huh? Oh man.
Yeah.
I loved Gorilla, man. He was my favorite. Gorilla and Bobby. I love those two together. So now we're going to go, Brett's going to go full fucking heel here and try to attack Steve again after Steve's laying there passed out. And then Shamrock's going to give him a little belly to belly suplex. And Brett's then going to cower away from Shamrock and just walk out like a coward, which is a great heel heat here at the end.
So he's really kicking the shit out of his knee still, and Shamrock telling him to back up.
You know, oh, it's a belly back suplex. Here it is.
And just
slings Brett down.
And Brett no selling it at all. Like, yeah. He didn't get hurt at all.
It's like something you tried on one of your buddies at the playground or something. So I'm going to grab you from behind. I'm just going to fling you around.
Now Shamrock's fired up, ready to fight. And Brett says, fuck this. I'm out.
Fuck this. Fuck you. I'm out. My dad's at ringside. Go fight him. He'll humble you. Man.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
There's not anything out there right now that'll tell me any different, to be honest with you. I don't think there is. I know there's a lot of people out there that'll tell you different, but man, what other matches can you really tell can really be better than that?
I don't know. I mean,
you know what I mean? Because there's not really,
it's hard to beat.
Yeah. But
Bam Bam and Lawrence Taylor, of course, in that classic.
Well, but you got that too. But you also take into account. You also have to take into account. You had the Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole match as well. So that's up there too. That's personally on my Mount Rushmore of WrestleMania matches.
So a real one, though, I would say would be Undertaker, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
25-26.
Yep.
Yeah. It goes to show you too. It's like, okay, Shawn was still at this pay-per-view. We'll see him in a little bit doing commentary for the title match, but it goes to show you that longevity. Granted, he lost his smile there for a little bit, but, and then he broke his back again and came back and, you know, rest is history, I guess. But anyways, those are probably about the only matches, man. And you could even put
the crowd is cheering Austin as he's walking down the ramp here back to the.
So, you know, I just wanted to briefly touch on this next match that we're going to have in between do you guys consider this match a letdown match? The LOD and Ahmed Johnson taking on the Farouk and Crush and Savio Vega with the rest of the Nation of Domination.
I 100% think of it that way because I don't think it meant a whole lot. It was just a lot of fun, a lot of action. I just think it was something in between two serious matches. I thought there was two badass entrances in it. I really liked that part. I mean, Ahmed Johnson, say what you want about him. He looked good in that. He looked good in the Legion of Doom stuff. And then I do like the Nation's entrance too. So
they were rapping on the way to the ring, which was actually it was actually kind of good. I liked it.
Yeah.
LOD like came out in the black spikes and Ahmed was in the red ones, which is pretty cool. Like Brad just said, but the crowd went nuts for the entrance, for the LOD entrance.
Well, did you know they're from Chicago? Even though they're technically from Minnesota.
They're from Minnesota. Even though
they're from Minnesota.
But here's one problem with the match. And Brad, I'm sure you probably wrote this down as well. They literally put a noose around Ahmed Johnson's neck.
Yeah, that
doesn't age well, right?
Didn't they call him something else during this match too? Didn't Farouk call him something? Or was it maybe it was on one of the Raws?
Oh, yeah. Farouk called him like an Uncle Tom or something.
That's what it was. Okay. I was 100% sure of what it was, but I know I remember hearing that.
What I did like was D'Lo dressed in a suit looking like Malcolm X down there. That was
Him in a suit and Bob Backlund for some reason today. I don't know
they should have started something with D'Lo here. There was another guy that they could have put against Austin to go off that one question. I believe it was Michael that had it. There's a guy that would work really well with Austin in 97 would be D'Lo Brown. You know, he's not really doing anything with the Nation.
This match was actually more entertaining than I remembered it. I actually didn't hate it. Hawk uses a fire extinguisher at one point, which was interesting. But the end of the match just kind of came off of really nothing. They used the 2x4 as a clothesline device and they get a pin out of it.
On Crush. Yeah. Crush always has to take the pin, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Just like he did Randy Savage at WrestleMania as well.
At WrestleMania
10. But yeah, I didn't remember liking this match as much as I did when I went back and watched it again.
Yeah. You know what I think it is, Justin? I think we had zero expectations going into this match. We thought it was just going to be terrible, so you couldn't be let down.
That's probably true.
Yeah. I'll still stand by Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole as my favorite WrestleMania match of all time.
The cool thing is they did do a double doomsday device after the match.
PG-13.
That was fucking awesome. The crowd was
and they sold it though.
Yeah.
But the thing is, who else is going to take that? You know, you ain't going to get Crush up in that. You ain't going to get fucking Farouk
Ron
up in
Simmons,
that.
No.
Or, yeah.
So all it's right, like, so here anyways, comes the worst comes, part of the show.
Here comes
Shawn fucking here, Michaels comes out, dances around. He got a 5-minute entrance, like, and he wasn't even wrestling. JR says, "What would WrestleMania be without HBK?" And King says it'd be better. And Shawn gets his pyro shit in the ring. And King says, "Give me a break. He's not even wrestling." I couldn't agree more, King. A man that's not even wrestling gets the biggest entrance of the fucking night.
So, Brad, this is when I just sit back, I mute my microphone, and just let Justin go to town and Shawn Michaels and just say, yep,
I mean,
sure,
for fuck's
sake. Sure, no problem. Uh-huh. See?
I thought he added a lot to the commentary, but I know you're a Bret Hart guy. I get it.
I don't understand why he gets this big of a fucking big entrance just to come out and sit his fucking ass down and try to figure out where his smile went.
Is there anything more annoying than that whole, "I don't know where my smile is, that lost my smile"? I hate that.
It's making me lose my sanity.
Still talk about it. I hate everything about it.
There has to be some sort of t-shirt on Box of Gimmicks right now. Have you seen my smile?
Yeah. Like, have you there seen my baseball and something about Mary?
But no.
Sid does a backstage promo here and immediately stumbles over his words in his first fucking six words. He can't get them out.
So he's like, channeling his inner Ahmed Johnson in his promos.
So, Taker's slow entrance was still 3 minutes shorter than Shawn's.
Without question. And I think they actually just said they just finished Shawn Michaels' entrance right now. Okay. Even after all these years. So this next match is for the WWF title. Your champion Psycho Sid taking on the Undertaker, which is now a no DQ match, is what they say. So we're actually going to be watching this one as well. So if you guys, everybody, you two included, want to get to the 2 hour, 9 minute and 41 second mark, it's a wide shot of the arena before they enter.
Hey guys, RJ here from the Ringside Rant. Want to tell you about a great sponsor, EveryPlate.com. EveryPlate is America's best value meal kit. While most meal kits come with a premium price tag, EveryPlate offers delicious dinners that won't break the bank. EveryPlate's quality ingredients come carefully packaged and pre-portioned, helping you save money and reduce food waste. Like that mixed bag of veggies that you have in the freezer that you won't use half of them and you end up throwing out. Let EveryPlate plan, shop, and deliver everything you need to cook a delicious meal at a consistently low price. Choose from 17 delicious weekly recipes and then, well, just sit back, relax, and enjoy it later on. They'll deliver pre-portioned ingredients into easy follow recipe cards right to your front door. Like I said, I was very skeptical about this, but when I saw the price tag, man, I went full go and got EveryPlate.com delivered right to my home and impressed my wife. So if I am impressing my wife, you should impress your wife or your significant other as well. Go over to EveryPlate.com and get started with EveryPlate for just $1.79 per meal by going to EveryPlate.com and entering the promo code RingsideRant179. Impress your loved ones, impress your families across the board this time of year by going to EveryPlate.com and using a promo code RingsideRant179 to pay just $1.79 per meal. Thanks to our friends over at EveryPlate.
And if everybody's all set, Brad, you want to give us a countdown?
Sure. Three, two, one, go.
Later on, we'd see a lot of the, you know, the real big WrestleMania sets, but this is very simply one of those sets. We're going to see Michaels coming out too.
You're gonna make me watch this fucking entrance.
You're
after
damn right I'm going to. That's why you think I put this timestamp.
Christ. Oh, I'm gonna go pee. I'll be back in 10 minutes when this is over.
Just soak it in. Just soak it in. I did this on purpose. See, Brad, you know, if I have to put up with him slandering the good goddamn name of Shawn Michaels.
I'm actually gonna wear that outfit later on tonight.
With no
leather
pants,
jacket, right? With a nice puke shirt, pants. Yeah. It looks good.
I think he got that out of the Vince McMahon closet of wardrobes.
Make sure you
cut something Vince would wear.
Make sure you cut a hole in the butt part of it if you want to wear it like Sean did.
You know, I didn't realize how long this was till you said something. I'm watching this now. Is he talking to every fan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let it wait for it.
Someone's jealous that Bret Hart just had the best WrestleMania match of all time, so he's got to fucking take his time getting out here.
Well, come on. Foreshadowing, we're going to see Bret at the end of this match anyway, so shut your mouth.
And not just once.
Oh, I know. Exactly. I did not remember that at all. I did not remember him coming out like multiple times. It was even starting to annoy me. I'm like, God damn.
And it just, it's about as annoying as his Iron Man match the previous year. He's got to fix his hair. Come on. He's got to fix his hair.
Just when you thought he was going to get in the ring. Nope, he's going to go around to every fucking fan in the front row.
Of course. He's got to go to his fans, Justin. Just like you do all the times when you go out and ump these.
When I referee.
Yeah.
I usually have a ton of fans after those games, let me tell you.
Well, usually they're spitting on you, but still, that's beside the point.
I do. I always tell young referees that are getting into it, I always compare it to wrestling. I said, it's like you're a bad guy in wrestling and you just lace up your boots and go to a different town every night expecting to get screamed at and cursed at the whole time. Sure. That's pretty much what refereeing is.
So do you guys
can't believe
did you guys notice? Did you notice that too sweet?
We're only halfway done.
Did you notice that too sweet? He flew up right outside inside his coat there.
Well, I'll tell you what's not too sweet is how long this fucking entrance is. Oh, here we go. We got to get the pyro now.
So to make it a little bit worse for you, I have another question from Money Mike, Justin.
Oh, my God.
And this is for all three of us. He wants to know, was putting the WWF title on The Undertaker the right move? He said, to me, his title reign seems secondary to the Bret Austin match and later in this year, the Hart Foundation and DX.
Yes, it's the right move. I mean, you'll see when
Vladimir.
You'll see the crowd really likes it when The Undertaker wins here. I mean, I think The Undertaker has only had one reign at this point.
This is his second.
And that was in 1991. So this is 6 years later. Lord,
hey, here's Pettengill. Hey, here's your favorite guy.
Oh, God.
Does he have the mullet? No, he doesn't have the mullet.
Here's where Sid fumbles over his fucking words. Undertaker deserves it, man. If anyone deserves it, it's him. So
I would track it, but I don't want to have you guys suffer with a Sid promo. Anyway, sorry, Brad. Go ahead.
No, I agree, though. It's not even so much. He deserves it. WWE owes it to him to give him the title here and there. You know, he's a great character. You know, he doesn't need the title, but he deserves the title.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So yes, it was the right move.
So do you think that, you know, this is also build, and a lot of people, if you believe anything that you see on the internet, this is one of the worst main events in WrestleMania history. Do you guys really think that that is the fact?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's the worst, but it's definitely up there. There's just a lot of rest holds in it. A lot of rest holds in it.
Well, you would think that with Taker and Sid, obviously they knew each other working in WCW before they got up to the WWF, with obviously Undertaker being Mean Mark Callis and Sid being in the Horseman there. But you would think they'd know how to work.
two big men, though. I'm not a fan of two big men working together like this. I don't think it.
Sure.
I don't like that. I think my favorite part of the whole thing is Bret Hart coming out and annoying me 3-4 times. I think that makes the match better. But the work itself in the match, no, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I don't know if it's the worst main event ever. I mean, some of those early WrestleManias are a little rough. But...
Do you think the Bret Hart coming out so many times, was that on the fly? Do you think it was planned?
I think it was planned after they made it a no DQ.
Yeah. Okay.
I would probably rank Hogan and King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2 up there for me as being bad.
That's what made me a fan. I know I was very young at the time.
Way to shit on it, Justin.
But I probably watched that ending 50 times. And I loved it. I loved the Saturday Night Main Events leading up to it too. But I was a little kid then, so you guys were negative years old. So,
Brett, you said two big men. You got Sid and Taker here. Previous year, we'd have Diesel and Undertaker as well. Do you think that match was better than this one? Just going along the lines that you said it was two big men.
Yes, it was better, but I still didn't like it. I'd rather see a big man work with a medium to a smaller man. They're all big. Over 300 pounds.
Hulk Hogan and Sid Justice suck too.
Well, are we just talking main events or are we just talking matches in general? Because you got to go with Undertaker and Giant Gonzalez at WrestleMania 9, which foreshadowing, we'll be going over that next month.
Yeah. But you see how he worked with Shawn Michaels later. You know he can work. It's just he just didn't work well with Sid here at all, I didn't think. But Sid was over. People liked him. He had a great look. And it's not always about the wrestling match. Sometimes it's about the two characters in the ring.
Yeah. Did you happen to like his work in WCW, that being Sid?
I really didn't like anything he did. I know that people liked him, just like people liked the Ultimate Warrior.
Sure.
It wasn't my thing. But no, I didn't care for it. I like whatever nobody likes, you know? I like this stuff that they say 5 people are watching it in a bingo hall, you know.
This is one of the last times we'll see Taker coming out with like the tie thing on, kind of the old school Undertaker look. He'll kind of go to more of a upgraded edition here later on in 97 and in the 98.
Now we see I'm gonna take a picture of that, Justin, and that has to be the background on your phone.
Justin, you're right. Looking back at that Undertaker, the gear he had on here, it almost looks like a costume, like a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Than what he would end up doing later.
So we've mentioned obviously Bret coming out multiple times, kind of maybe kind of overshadowed the match. But Brad, this is more towards you because I know what Justin's going to say with this. But did Sean being out there overshadow it too?
I thought Sean added a lot to the commentary.
Okay.
I mean, yes, the entrance was long, but I thought obnoxious. He was funny. I thought he actually makes a funny line here about the Spanish announce table. It's like, why would anybody sit there? You know, just stuff like that. Just little things. I thought he was pretty funny. I thought he was good on there.
Here comes
why does anybody sit there though? It's just going to get broken up anyways.
Sid just looks so good here, man. I coming out to that badass music of his, and
now do you think this is all sweat or is that just water?
That's water and shit. Yeah.
Unless he was practicing his softball swing.
He
could have been.
Dude, but look at his freaking arms.
And he's giving fist bumps to the crowd, almost like a face here.
Yeah, but
he's mad at him about it.
Yeah. So,
yeah. But where, because we obviously said this is the one of the last big matches that he's going to have with the company. Because we're not going to see too much of him going forward after this match.
Yeah, what a monster.
Because he'll end up going back to WCW and breaking his leg.
Man, he's got a great perm.
Well, of course. I'm definitely jealous. I'll tell you that much. But you're going to see the pyro here with the Sid in the background when he's in the ring. And it's just like, the crowd likes the crowd. He gets a decent pop, but it's just like, All right, come on, guys. This is your champion. Let's go.
This is a very long opening. Yeah, but you know, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, now Sid. This is a long time to not wrestle.
Yeah.
And then, as Bruce said, the bell would have to ring.
Undertaker still looks like he's going with that kind of white makeup on his face to kind of make him look more dead.
Now, did you like this version of a guy, the Undertaker, or did you what version of the Undertaker did you guys like? Did you like this one more than the others?
I like the American Badass the best, and I love the way he presented it, the way he came out with it with that day. That was a lot of fun. I wasn't ever really into the whole Halloween thing, I guess. It was okay. I know people loved it. He's been around a long time, but I was more of a fan of the Badass on the motorcycle.
And believe it or not, folks, the American Badass was actually a spinoff of what Brad is like on the weekends.
Yeah. My favorite one, though, was just, oh, God.
Oh, here comes Brad. Here comes Brad. Everybody's got to be quiet.
My favorite one was the original Undertaker, like back
90?
in 91, 90. Yeah, I like that. Here comes Brad. He's going to whine.
And that's when kayfabe was alive, because now you're starting to see him talk a little bit more here, too, because you don't see Paul Bearer with him now, where they're kind of putting Paul Bearer with Vader and Mankind. So it's like, okay, Bearer's going to, you know, he's going to have to do stuff on his own now. Oh,
there's Vince protecting his boy.
Yeah, Vince holding Sean down when Sean wasn't even getting up.
He's not doing anything. Vince is surrounding him.
He's rubbing his shoulders. Come on. Are you feel okay? Do you need something to drink? Do you need a margarita? Do you need a hot dog? Or
who do you think the top was? Oh, Vince was the top. He'd have to be dominant.
He'd have to be dominant. Come on, man.
It looks like he's ready to take a bullet for him. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and I just, the facials of Sid, just in his career, are selling it, because he's just laughing at Bret Hart. It's like, come on, dude. I'm the champion. What the hell are you complaining about?
And just a reminder, this match has not started.
Correct.
So Bret's going to get a power bomb here in just a second. There's that fucking traitor Earl Hebner.
Hey, you shut your West Virginian mouth.
Punch him, Brett. Don't get Sid. Punch Earl.
He'll want to later.
Well, yeah, that too. But fair, what the hell is he going to say? Son of a bitch.
Now, Sid powerbombs Brett and tells him to take his whining ass back to the back.
Oh, here comes, there's Billy Silverman, Jack Doan. Oh,
enough guys in the ring.
Oh, there's Pat.
Pat's coming to get his boy.
Shit, I really thought I lost my train of goddamn thought. What the hell? Oh, there's Briscoe.
Dave Hebner.
Yep.
And Rene Goulet or whatever his name is.
Oh, the blonde dude? I forgot what the hell. Was that Goulet?
I think so.
Seven guys out there to carry him out.
Nope, and then we finally get started.
Hey,
here.
The match just started.
I totally lost my train of thought. Justin, you got me all flustered now.
Well, I do that to people.
Oh,
it's a tap gallon, you.
Yeah, right. I was gonna make a hot dog joke about Shawn Michaels, but
Yeah, this match actually started out pretty well, and then we get like a 10-minute bear hug and all kinds of stupid shit in this match.
But still, that bear hug didn't last as long as Shawn Michaels' entrance, though.
That is true. And of course, it's the main event of WrestleMania, so we got Baby Earl on the match, as always.
Oh, goddamn.
Who was your favorite referee, Brad?
Mike Chioda.
Yeah.
Yeah, before I was asking him questions every other week, I really always liked him the best. I there's just been times when he makes zero sense to me, and I just thought it was funny. Like when people are trying to cash in the Money in the Bank, and he's like asking him, "What do you want?" Well, they're handing you the briefcase. They're screaming in your face. You're like, "Are you sure?" Just stuff like that.
I never understood this move when Undertaker walks on the rope. Like if he's doing that to me, I just would fall into the ropes or like fall, like just pull him down. That move never really makes sense.
But it goes along the same lines of when you have a ladder match, why don't you just go right to the ladder? It's the same sort of thing that's going on. It's like, okay, well, oh, here comes a bear hug.
My favorite referee as a kid was Joey Morella. I loved Joey Morella. And then after Joey died, I would say it would have been Tim White for me. I always liked Tim White on a match for some reason.
Because he was here at this time, right? Because he's Tim White. Tim White. Because he was there forever.
Yeah.
He's not still on the payroll, is he?
No, he runs his bar, I think.
He's still doing that? Okay. I couldn't remember because I could have sworn. I know. Oh, hold on. Shawn Michaels here. Everybody quiet. Oh, and he's finally still gone with his entrance. Okay. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. I was a big fan of Tim White. Obviously, I'm partial with Earl Hebner, but I know Justin is going to crap all over that like he does every time. So,
guess what? We got a bear hug going on.
So, you know,
it's still going on.
You're right. I wasn't even thinking that Shawn was overshadowing this match until now. They don't even care about this match. WWE doesn't care about this match at all. They only care about is Bret and Shawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. This has nothing to do with The Undertaker or Sid.
Well, we have a 5-minute bear hug going on, so there's plenty of time to do other
shit. So what was your guys' favorite bear hug? Sid's right here or the Yeti?
Oh, well, the Yetis for sure, because he got that hump action in there too.
Well, they were doing the Eiffel Tower on Hogan there, right?
Still humping.
Ref, Hebner's over there. What is he doing? Counting? I don't even know.
I don't think he even knows what to do.
There we go.
But the thing is, though, we constantly say it's a big, big men, big men, big men. But that's what, here's another bear hug.
Yeah, goes right back into it. But this like, hey, guys, you thought that was awesome. Watch this.
Watch another bear hug. So, but this is that 97. This is the big guy era for Vince. You know, obviously on the other channel, we'll see a lot of the cruiserweights. We'll see a lot of the foreign wrestlers. Not so much here in the WWF. It's the big guys. You got your Sids, you got your Takers, you got your Canes,
Vader,
man, even Mankind was a bigger dude.
Yeah.
So you start to see that, but it's just like, and then obviously with Bulldog, but that's the time of the, oh, and he just goes right to the feet and he pulls him out. Oh,
there's that table.
Oh, there's that Spanish table. Oh no.
Did you see the way those guys got up? That was hilarious. Oh.
And you got the Frenchman over there as well. The third table all the way over.
Man, no one ever bothers their table.
Man, I'd like to have one of those purple WrestleMania 13 chairs. Yeah.
Ask Conrad. I'm sure he has a couple.
He probably, yeah. I'd say Casio or Dave Silva's probably already shit on it.
Again? But yeah, it's just like we're talking over a great match here, probably one of the best matches of all time. And man, did you guys those old school WWF t-shirts you're going to see behind here with those fans? With like they look kind of like a neon. I'm like, dude, I could have sworn I saw people making those again.
Probably Earl Hebner selling them illegally in the fucking parking lot.
Jesus Christ, come on.
Do you see that Sid sign that someone had to cut out? Like someone actually had to get scissors and stuff. And it's a great job.
Actually cut out the middle of the D? Man, that's dedication.
I remember we used to work hard on our signs back then. I went to a house show a year after this in Cincinnati, and I had two or three signs rolling out there.
What, they didn't do house shows on the top of the mountains in West Virginia?
No, I didn't live in West Virginia back then.
Look at these. You see this guy in the top left-hand corner there in the white t-shirt and the hat just yawning. I'm like, I think that's pretty much personifies this match. Just people yawning in the audience.
Where was Undertaker at on the streak in this?
This well, was 13.
91 probably would have been his first one, right?
With Snuka.
So it wasn't the streak yet, really. No one knew.
No, nobody really paid attention to it until probably, I'd say probably, what, 15 maybe, with Kane?
And I think Orton, right? That's when they bring it up a lot, from what I remember.
Once they hit probably, I'd say probably 2000, then they really start to, I'd say give it another 3-4 years, and then they really start to kind of, oh, he's got the streak. He's undefeated at WrestleMania. Oh, The only time that Sid came off the ropes and did not break his leg.
Playing to the crowd.
It's not Rocket.
Yeah. Baby Earl's telling him something. I don't know what he's telling. But...
Go home. Go home. This match sucks.
Yeah, go home. Go the fuck home.
Go the fuck home. Brett's or either that or, hey, Brett's coming out again.
Just leave your hands on your side when someone's punching you, too.
Yeah.
That's a strong move.
You just see him starting to laugh, I think.
I miss the I do miss the red, white, and blue ropes.
Yeah.
I wish they still did that.
But you can also see the amount of give that they had in these ropes too, because this is, you didn't have a lot of guys going off the top here.
That was,
you didn't
really
have to have a lot of tension.
That was a really shitty power slam right there by Sid.
Yeah.
I wrote that down on my notes too, and I just saw it. I'm like, yep, that's it. That's that shitty power slam. Like, he barely got Undertaker up and over.
But it was just the momentum, though. You know what I mean?
He pins him and he doesn't get it, and he yells, God damn it, real loud, which is kind of funny. So now we get another long rest hold coming up here in a minute, which will be fun. Uh-oh,
and
big leg drop.
Tribute to Hogan.
Was that Sid or Hulk Hogan?
That's the second
now
time
I'm
he's done
during this match.
So
feel like I'm really there.
So what was a worse match? This match here or the Sid and Hogan match?
This match, I think.
You think this one? Yeah. Well, because I think you had so much other shit going on with the Sid and Hogan match, because you had Warrior, you had Papa Shango come out, and this one, it's just like, what the fuck? It could have been so much better. Now, let me ask you guys this. Do you think it should have been a triple threat match? Here's another way you could book it, with Brett and Taker and Sid, and just Austin be booked with somebody else.
Yeah, we wouldn't have had the greatest match of all time, though.
Yeah.
True. I know, and I understand that, but you're trying to rebook this stuff and trying to make this match a little bit better. Putting Bret Hart in it makes it better, but
you know what they should have done is the revamped new Papa Shango should have came out in this match too.
There you go. But you know what I mean? Because you're trying to improve this stuff as much as you can. Obviously, we wouldn't have gotten that classic best match of all time, WrestleMania match of all time with Bret and Austin. But it's just like, okay, come on, man.
You know why that match was the greatest? Because Hebner wasn't the referee. That helped it.
I'm actually looking forward to Bret coming out. I'm so over this right now.
I can't.
What's crazy is he got power bombed to hell, and then he's gonna drag his ass back out there again.
We're gonna just throw him over.
Notice how there was no fans in that corner; like they knew that spot was coming. I guess
power bombed to hell, and then before that, he was beat up by Austin, and then Shamrock. But yeah, he's gonna still run out here.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd just go home.
Yeah. Go home. You got this great security guard over here in his orange jacket and his freaking Janko jeans.
He's doing a hell of a job. He is doing a hell of a job over there.
He's like, oh, well.
Look at Sid just standing there waiting to get punched.
And the right angle, that looks like Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh. By the way, Bel-Air, the new show on the Peacock, is very solid.
I haven't watched it yet. Is it good?
Yeah, I like it.
I'm five in. Five episodes in.
You like it?
Yeah. Okay, I don't know how I feel about the new Carlton, though.
I know. What's up with that dude's hairline, too?
Yeah. It starts where mine starts.
So it doesn't start anywhere.
Right. It's good, though. It is good. We're checking out.
I know. I turned Antonio Santos on it, and he really liked it, too. So it's not the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that you grew up with. It's not a comedy. It is more of a drama, but it is. It's very good. I like it.
And Uncle Phil and Jeffrey are badass.
Yes. They're like Batman and Batman's little helper guy. Not Robin, but like Alfred.
Oh, right.
Yes.
So it's like his butler. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Here's another rest hold.
Yeah, here's the rest hold.
Hey, at least it's not a bear hug.
This is true.
I don't even know how that hurts. How does that hurt?
It doesn't. He's just holding his head.
Well, you see, his ears hurt. You mean because
my eyes are hurting watching this shit.
Well, right, but it's if you crush his head to the side a little bit, it's going to hurt his ears, and then he can't hear you. And then you can't listen. And then you can't listen to when Earl tells you to go home.
You looking at Undertaker's gloves? I didn't notice those till now. How terrible those are!
Yeah.
Oh, that's they're a not bad glove.
They're not as bad as Flash Funk's boots.
Oh my God! Yeah. But it's but that's the thing that he even had these and he had the purple ones. No wonder he went to a different costume or gear or whatever because he couldn't do anything with it. Oof.
What do you think about Undertaker's opera mask? The Phantom of the Opera mask.
Well, you see that was it was that 90? No, was it this 95? Era? Or was that 90, was not, 95? Yeah, it was like 94, 95.
That's creepy-ish.
Well, yeah.
Well, if he's the new Undertaker, you put him in a mask, it's got to get over, right?
You know, Undertaker has a teardrop tattoo on his face here.
Who'd he kill, do you think?
Oh, well, here's the thing. He should have like a 200 of them on his face because he kills everyone.
He's a dead man, though. But the thing is, who'd wrong answers only. Who do you think he killed?
Bruce Pritchard.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. Thank you.
Brother Love. He killed Brother Love. We didn't see Brother Love anymore after he was his manager.
Well, I wish I would have seen Brother Love because this match is fucking terrible. Cripe, I would rather see a Brother Love versus Paul Bearer match instead of this one.
Ooh, that would have been good.
Who do you think would have went over? Paul Bearer or Brother Love?
Well, I don't know how that match would end up. I think they'd both get tired about 2 minutes into it and just quit.
Yeah, that's true.
Double DQ. They both went to the fucking Whataburger.
Double cheese, motherfucker. So was at this was Cornette behind the scenes?
Yeah.
In 97? Because I don't think he wasn't part of with.
No, he wasn't on TV a lot right now. Well, until the NWA thing would restart.
Yeah, because when they would have Jarrett and Rock and Roll come over. And who the hell is the third one?
Oh, they had Barry Windham, I think, in there.
Yeah, no, but somebody else came over there, though. That was they were actually billing it out of the NWA. Maybe it was just the three of them. I don't know. Oh, double boot. Who saw that coming?
How long is this going to take?
Until Brett comes out. Oh, Christ. We still got 10 more fucking minutes? Jesus Christ. We're only halfway through this fucking match.
You've got to be kidding me. This is the third time I've watched this week.
Oh, my God. Oh, they go. There's Sean. So it's got a – he's watching very intently.
That's 2 hours you'll never get back with your life, Brad.
You just – it's like, really? Why? And I think these guys are starting to – fall asleep at ringside too.
Well, something's in Sid's eyes for sure.
I wish Sid, when he came back here, I don't know why, but I miss him when he would mix his collars up. Remember in like the 92 run, he would have like red on sometimes and like blue on sometimes.
They have like teal or something there at WrestleMania 8. Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's just always in black, which is fine, but I always liked it when
But I think when he wore the different colors, I think he was Sid Justice, and this time he was Psycho Sid. So I think he was kind of
psychos have to wear black, don't you know that?
Correct. Rule? Correct. Correct.
Well, he does look like a badass there, man.
Oh God! Stop coming off the ropes, you stupid asshole! Like nobody likes you. Nobody likes this match.
Look at the people in the front row. Like that one guy's just got his hand over his mouth. Like I'm about to fucking fall asleep.
So good thing this isn't during this era because everybody would be on their fucking phone tweeting out this match is fucking horrible. I'm never watching WWF again. Cancel WWF.
Just took the words out of my mouth. Really. I'm picturing everybody on their phones not watching this right now.
Yeah. You'd probably have some slap dick in the background with a Conrad Thompson big head trying to get ad-free shows over or something.
Everyone is literally just sitting in the stands like they look bored as fuck. Look at them all back there.
You got this guy all the way to the right with his kid on his lap. His kid's probably pissing himself because he didn't want to leave.
Look about halfway up by the steps. Look at the fat guy with both of his hands.
Oh, with the vest? With the vest, the security guy?
He's done. He's done working.
That looks like Dave Silva's grandfather or something.
Those guys coming down the aisle, they picked a good time to go to the bathroom. Now they're coming back. They're like, fuck, this match is still going on.
Oh, is there buttons on that coat on that guy with the white coat? Nice.
Button on a fur coat?
Yeah, that was nice. That's sad. Hey, we're looking at the crowd here, and that's it, by the way.
Sid's going back up top.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Really? Maybe he's doing a moonsault.
Uh-oh. Oop. Undertaker caught him.
Oh, my God. Just end the match. For the love of God, Taker. Just do something. Call Bret Hart again.
Here he comes. I think Bret's about to come out. It
can't,
should be about
I can't
time.
Freaking wait. I really can't. Look at the difference in production with the WWE now. We're seeing cameramen everywhere.
Yeah.
You never see this.
But they don't have the blue jumpsuits on in this time. You remember the old school, Brad? When they had the old blue jumpsuits? At like, I think it was probably, what, WrestleMania like 4, 5, 6 there?
Yeah, I need to get me one of those blue jumpsuits.
I can get you a jumpsuit if you want, and then you can just have the other shit embroidered if you want. You probably want like a 42? Oh. Man, but how... Who was the best big man to come off the top? Was it Undertaker?
Yes, I think so. And not just the top, you know, when he walks on the rope. I mean,
I like Vader doing his fucking moonsaults and shit, though, too.
You know, here's another guy that we talked about him last week, Justin, going to the Hall, or he should be in the Hall of Fame, is Bam Bam Bigelow. When you go back to the earlier incarnations of Bam Bam, he was doing moonsaults before Vader was.
Mm-hmm.
When, obviously, when Bam Bam was a little bit slimmer, but still.
He worked. Oh. He didn't work like a regular big man the way that he works more like a big man.
This is actually the only good spot in this match.
Oh, the tombstone?
Undertaker tries to tombstone Sid flips back over and tombstones Undertaker.
But that looks like it didn't go right, though. And he kicks out. But that didn't look like he did it right, though, from the backside. You know what I mean? It looks like his head actually hit. Which I think that was the purpose of it.
But
it looks like it didn't hit right.
Yeah. That's what I wrote in my notes. Finally an impressive spot. That looked like it was hard for Sid to kind of flip over Undertaker like that and hold on to the tombstone.
Yeah.
You got two big guys doing that. It's not like it's fucking Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero.
Right. But it's like he can't even throw a fucking punch, though. Sid,
there we go.
Here comes Bret. Boom! Oh, and the match just got a lot better.
Bret just comes out and nails Patterson. Sid twice.
Oh, come nails on, Pat. Sid take him out. Take him chair. Out, Pat. How much would you give right now if Pat Patterson just sucker punched Bret Hart and they set up an angle with Bret and Pat?
Pat's got a great
That's the baby. I'm going to punch you in the face. Let's go work. Come on. I'll put you over.
Members only jacket he's got on, too.
Well, look at Tony Garea there. There's an unsung hero of the company.
So now we're finally back in the ring after Bret whacks Sid twice with a fucking chair in the back.
Oh, go home. Please go home. Are you too good for your home? Comes... Answer me.
Chokeslam.
Oh, it's coming. Here it is. Night night.
Sid goes up for a chuck slam. He actually went up well on that.
I'm gonna say at least he went up though.
Yeah.
One, two. Oh, come on. Oh, no. Dude, that's the most energy that Earls has had this whole match.
Uh oh. I think we're gonna see someone come back out here.
Oh my god. Please no. What the hell was that? Did he just miss that?
Yeah, nothing landed.
He tried to like knee block him or something, take his knee out, and it didn't even look like he hit him at all.
It's like, oh we're gonna go to the side. Oh, we're gonna go this way. Oh,
here comes a power bomb.
Now whose power bomb did you like? Sid's or Nash's?
Oh, never mind. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Oh!
Bret comes out with the distraction. And that's going to seal it up here for Undertaker. Oh,
and the answer
Sid
is
just stunned Sid over the rope. And now here's the
fucking boom.
Tombstone night, right night. In the middle of the ring. And this match is mercifully over.
Thank God.
And Undertaker the little creatures of the night go crazy as the Undertaker is now 2-time world champion.
Because they can finally leave and they don't have to, they can get their car valeted. Ooh. Yes, we can go home. Yes, I have a great mustache. Look at that mustache.
Yeah.
Okay, now everybody, oh, rest in peace, Sid. Step into the darkness. Oh, now you see those guys running up the stairs?
they're beating traffic.
Yeah.
Come on, I gotta go sell.
Listen, you was in Chicago last year for that pay-per-view. You know how that fucking traffic can be.
Oh my God. But yeah, so that is that's gonna do it for us here. Thank God, but overall,
well, we saw one fantastic match and one not so fantastic.
Well,
match.
Correct.
It was a good balance.
But we had a lot of fun during the second one. A lot of fun. God.
And that was just us talking about and shitting on it. But overall thoughts on this? Obviously, the main event wasn't obviously the best one, but it kind of, you think the Austin Brett match really obviously was the best out of this pay-per-view, but would you have put it later though in main event so that you didn't see this shit show? Would you make that exception, Justin?
Not here, I wouldn't. There are some WrestleManias where I think you can, but I just feel like, especially at this time, the world title needs to be the main event most of the time. Mm-hmm. And the Brett coming out thing probably wouldn't have worked as well if it was reversed.
Sure. How about this though? If you would have had, and I know you probably going to shit all over this, Justin, but Brad, you can answer this before he does. You say you reverse it. You put Brett and Austin in the main event and you put Sid and Taker before this back to back. Have Michaels come out and mess up Brett. Do you think that would have worked if they booked it that way?
I think all three ways would have worked. I think it would have worked. You could have made it work any way you want, but you just don't know. You just don't know what the idea that this was a submission match to begin with Brett and Brett and Austin.
Sure.
At the time, would you have been excited about that? I don't know if I would have, because Austin doesn't do submission matches. Yeah. How it turned out was great. It ended up exceeded expectations, but at the time, though, I think I just leave everything the way it is.
You know who should have came out for the Sid Undertaker match? Like I said.
Oh my God! Jesus Christ! But it didn't, the 97 version of it.
97 Papa Shango.
Or we could have brought out Brother Love.
You could bring out Dude Love too.
Papa Shango could have came out and put a curse on Sid and then had Sid lose. And then we set up a Papa Shango Sid feud. See?
Okay. So side note. So you said Papa Shango. Do you think Papa Shango was the 97 version of Danhausen?
Oh yeah. Danhausen completely ripped the gimmick off of Papa Shango.
There you go.
His face.
Man, I'm gonna
tweet that out now. I'm gonna put that out there. I'm gonna do a side by side with Danhausen and Papa Shango and see who did it better. But
well, I haven't seen Danhausen make the Ultimate Warrior spit up blood or whatever he did. The Ultimate
Yeah, I don't
Warrior
even remember that what
with,
that was.
With
but
the curse. So
right. So first and foremost, Brad, thank you so much for coming on this week. It was definitely a pleasure and a long time coming to have you on with us. Ways of people want to get a hold of you and make sure they follow you and follow your great tips on how to do your hair the right way.
I'm just on Twitter at Yes Man Brad.
There you go. So Justin, next
and,
week
is the Yes Man, is that just what you say to your wife all the time, Brad?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
No. Yes. No. that's his alter ego. That's his Papa Shango version. Next week, Justin, obviously we're culminating this month. Next month, we're going to continue this WrestleMania theme going. Next week and all of next month, we're going to be going over two of our favorite WrestleManias, two of the better WrestleManias, but we're also going to go over two of the worst WrestleManias in our opinions. You're going to have to stay tuned to find out what WrestleManias we're going to be going over. But I will tell you this much. Next week on the show, we're actually going to be covering WrestleMania 17. So get all those questions in that you want at _ringside rant, or you can simply go over to castby.com/ringside rant and you get all our information there. And we just, like I said, we appreciate you guys for tuning in this week, each and every week. Outside of Michael McClanahan, you can stop submitting your questions now because you hate Seinfeld. so we're not going to end on that. Justin, what do you got this week? Finish up.
Oh, well, baseball, softball season has arrived for me. So I've got 5 games this week to umpire now. I'm switching sports. So it looks like the weather's going to be nice this week here. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to some spring training, even though the Reds have just sold their whole team away for, you know, a loaf of bread, I think, is what they got in return for all the people they traded away. But
rumor has it they got raisin bread, so that's always good.
Yes, we are hoping that the Bengals sign Lyle Collins here in a day or two. We need one more piece to fix that offensive line, and we will be ready to return to the Super Bowl and beat the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship.
Well, I was just going to say that. I said, easy there, fella. You got to get past the Bills first, who signed.
Yeah, who signed a 32-year-old man to a 6-year contract.
I don't
give
a shit. He could be 43 for all I care. As long as he gets them to win a goddamn Super Bowl, I don't give a shit. They could sign Antonio Santos for all I care.
Oh.
As long as they get to the Super Bowl and win it, I don't care.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you, Brad. Yes, man, Brad, for coming on here with us. It was nice to talk to you today, and we really appreciate you coming on, taking the time out, and doing this with us.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
And he is the only guest, keep in mind, that comes in a dress shirt.
Yeah, he's way overdressed. I'm here.
He's way overdressed.
I got my top gal shirt.
I got a flash shirt. I forgot. I got sweatpants. I'm ensconced in velvet, if you will. The old Seinfeld reference there.
Maybe Brad actually went to church this morning, unlike you or me. You never know.
Yes.
And then it's like, you know, we're all going to hell for that. So it's we're associating ourselves with Brad. So that's got to be a
he went to church, and I'm hanging out with my little devil Papa Sanger.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much. Please turn in next week. Get your questions over to us for WrestleMania 17 coming up next week. And we will see you right here in Ranters Nation next week.